הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello, everybody. This is Judge Eve, and that was your singer. Every time I hear it, I wonder how I sing like I do, but it's in Hebrew. And it says, we brought you peace and happiness, and let us all sing. All of our brothers, let us sing. So let us be happy for today. I'm blessed today to have Greg and Dee Dee Hayslip as my guests. They're both spiritual warriors. Greg is an ex-gay man who the Lord has saved and delivered. And just before we go into the show, I was led to read a couple of verses, and then I'll have them join me in a couple of prayers, which are very important for today. What I love, it's in Matthew 22, starting about verse 35, where a lawyer from the Pharisees was saying to Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first command and great commandment. And the second is, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I love it later when he said to the Pharisees, who do you say I am? And they said, the son of David. And Jesus said, well, how come then David called me Lord? And then they were afraid to ask him any more questions. That's the way it should be in court. And the other verses that I was very led to bring up today was, it's in Matthew 12 and starting actually verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So, Lord, we humble ourselves before you today. We thank you and praise you. You said, whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. And Lord, let the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Dee Dee, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Judge Eve. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And Greg, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. I just wanted to bring up a couple of prayer requests, and you know, please join me, and if you feel led to add anything, please do. The first one was sort of an urgent request for a little girl, 4-year-old. She's named Alija. She fell in preschool and hurt her head, and has what they call subcutaneous something about the blood clot being in her head. She's in the hospital with a special hat, which I think is ultrasound. I've already prayed for her, and I'll just speak forth what I saw, and please agree with me and add whatever else you feel led to do. Lord, again, we're humbled before you. We thank you and praise you. Again, you said, whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. We lift up little Alija to you right now, Lord. We invite your presence, Holy Spirit, your firepower to bore through that ever is clogging up her veins and her brain. Let it be totally open, and our whole brain and all the little cells restored to perfection in Jesus' mighty name, and let it be even more intelligent than she's been before, and pain-free with no after effects in Jesus' name. And Lord, I lift up David to you, David and Patty. David has been having terrible knee pain in the last few weeks, and then he fell and hurt his back and from a terrible accident that really the angel saved Patty and David about a year ago. Actually, February 19th last year. He still has neck and shoulder pain. And Lord, again, we're humbled before you. We thank you and praise you. Again, you said, whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. We lift you up, David, right now. We rebuke the pain in Jesus' name. We speak the perfect. perfect balance, chemical balance to your body. In Jesus' name, and all the tendons, cells, tissues, whatever involved in that knee are restored to wholeness, as is your back, your shoulder, and neck. In Jesus' mighty name, and health and wholeness to you and Patty. In Jesus' mighty name. Then, Lord, I would like to bring up John to you right now. And he has litigation scheduled for March 25th. And we speak victory for you, John. Victory and favor. And the same for the June 17 hearing. Victory and favor in Jesus' mighty name. And for Vani, who is from India, we thank you, Lord, that you've answered prayer by giving him a job. And now that you show him the direction of his life. In Jesus' name, for everybody's here for a mission and a purpose, and that you reveal it to him step by step. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Dee Dee and Greg. And Greg, just tell us, I know you'd like to both talk about, how to have a Christ-centered marriage today. But before we do that, let's have a little background about you both. Greg, you were married before, right? Hello?
Yes, I was married before for 15 years.
For 15 years.
I had 15 and a half years.
Yes.
And I have two sons from my first marriage.
Yes.
And my oldest son has two children now.
Really? You mean you're 21 and you're already a grandfather?
A little bit older than that.
I always say that being born in Israel, I was born at minus 20, so you're doing the same thing. Praise God. But you know what, to me, a big point, you were enticed into the gay life. And to me, it means enticed by the devil, really. So can
That's
you just
right.
briefly tell us what happened to cause you to go into that lifestyle?
Well, you are very much correct. I was wooed by Satan. Many negative things had gone on in my life, and the devil, of course, loves to use any kind of negativity to make us feel bad about ourselves.
And that gives Satan no place, right? It gives him a place, doesn't it?
That's exactly what it did. It gave him plenty of room, a whole lot more than just wiggle room, to get into my life. And he had all kinds of plays. And he began to tell me back in 1994, probably even 1993, you know, Greg, your family would be so much better off without you. I mean, you know, you're an idiot. You don't fit in. You're no good. Why don't you just quit? You know, go into the gay life choice.
You actually had those kind of thoughts in your mind?
Pardon?
You actually had those kind of thoughts in
your
mind?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yes, yes. I mean, the devil was very very precise in his measures against me to get me to follow hard after him, which I did for 11 years. But it was just that. I mean, you know, at that time I had a 12-year-old son and a 5-year-old son. I just ditched them. I just totally ditched them. And of course, their mother.
What were you thinking about your children at the time? Were you even concerned about their welfare?
No.
Or didn't even...
No. I was a very hard man.
Self-centered.
I was a very angry man, a very bitter man. And no, I was not thinking clearly at all.
So you were very much just thinking about Greg, right?
That's it. I was so self-centered, self-focused, and self-absorbed. It was all about me. I didn't care about anybody else. I just wanted my needs met, period.
That's
it.
And that's the way Satan enters into people's lives, doesn't he? You know, instead of putting Christ on the throne, when we put me, I, and me on the throne, we get all kinds of problems.
We do. And it absolutely wreaks havoc, but it's not just on the person that has committed this crime, this sin.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I affected three other people, but it went much further than that. I affected many, many lives because I dove hard into sin. I mean, it affected my parents. It affected her parents.
Oh.
I mean, the list goes on of the people that were affected by my desire to live for Satan. And
to do your own thing, right?
Isn't that? Pardon?
I say to do your own thing, as people say
That's
today.
That's exactly right. And the repercussions have been...
Yes.
Astronomical. I mean, just astronomical of what all has happened. Even to this day, the connection with my sons is not there yet. It will be.
It will be.
I know that it will be.
Yes.
It will
yes.
be. God is working yes. on that. I know He is. And
yes.
But when you listen to the devil, it's going to cost you.
Yes.
People need to know that. There is a price to pay for sin.
Yes.
And even though Jesus did cover our sins on the cross, I mean, when you sin, you're causing a void or a gulf to become between you and God, and that gulf is something that the Lord will not breach.
Exactly.
You have to come to Him.
Right.
And I'm so thankful that I did do that back in 2005, that I surrendered my life to Him and gave up that life choice of homosexuality.
I did that very quickly. Let me just give your website out so in case people need to contact you. And let me tell you, Dee Dee and Greg have given up everything to follow the Lord, truly. So if you're led to support them in any way, let me give you their website. It's http://, I'm not saying it correctly, www.Greg, bride.wix.com/free. So that's http://www.xgaygregbride.wix.com/free. Just so people know where to contact you. What caused you to come to the Lord? Because I say He saved you and delivered you. How did He save you, Greg?
He started wooing me, just like Satan. Well, not just like Satan, because God is so much better than Satan.
Yes.
But the Lord began to woo me back to Himself. I had backslidden. I had been a Christian, and I was in a backslidden condition.
Were you following Jesus at the time that you were following your gay lifestyle?
No,
absolutely not.
No,
right?
I was not. I don't even know how you could do that. To be perfectly honest, I
yes.
don't. I cannot be. I don't know how to be a gay Christian. I don't know how that would happen. So,
well, you can be a happy Christian,
a Christian,
right?
Or you're a sinner.
Greg, you can be a happy Christian, though, right?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can be a happy Christian.
Yes,
and,
but not a gay one.
I do not consider myself a gay Christian at all. I am simply
yes.
a man of God, chosen
God.
By God. I'm a royal Christ. Priesthood. And I don't tag my sin, the sinful nature that I was, onto my life because that I am no longer that person.
Praise
but,
God.
But at all, no, I don't. I mean, when He set me free,
yeah.
it was a journey. I mean, and it's still a journey. I'm going to be on that journey for the rest of my
yeah.
life.
Yes.
But,
what caused Him to start you to come back to Him? What happened?
I started watching Christian programming.
Oh.
Back then it was different than it is now. I mean, that's
yes.
that's interesting to say, but
it was
7 years
commitment.
Ago, Christian programming.
It was sincere and it was more committed than the apostasy we see today.
It is true. It is true.
Yes.
It had. I guess it had begun to slide even then, but the Lord was able to reach me through it. And
wow.
I'm thankful. A particular church had a revival at that time, and they were broadcasting it.
Wow.
And I was watching that revival, and it just ministered to my soul. I also watched The Passion of the Christ, the movie,
yes.
and that just tore me up. I mean, I was definitely a very sinful man at that point.
Yes.
And when the Lord saved me, He saved
yes.
me on November 25th, 2005. And pardon me, November 26th. I want to make sure I get that right. The reason why I know I got that wrong is because it's so new to me yet.
But
the Lord
way,
saved
Greg,
me. I didn't even realize that I was saved.
We have
because
a caller.
That night...
Nikki's calling in, so let's hear what Nikki has to say, and we'll continue with your story. Are you there,
sure.
Nikki?
Hi,
hello.
Trim. Hi, Greg. Hi, Eve.
Hello, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hello.
With a
hi.
Nice
oh,
surprise.
Hi, Dee Dee, too.
Hello.
Hello, I do want to interrupt your story, Greg,
yes.
Dee Dee, God bless you guys. I just am so grateful
you.
For your ministry, for what you're doing. I love you guys, and I just stumbled upon you on Facebook, and I saw you holding that sign, and it just broke my heart, because every day I'm on my knees praying for homosexuals that I know at the gym that I go to, people in my neighborhood, and sometimes I feel like a kind of like a Lone Ranger Christian, that other Christians just kind of think, well, they're happy that way, so just leave them alone. Or, if they're meant to be saved, then they'll be saved. And I felt like, you know what, no, my heart is breaking for them, and I'm worried they're going to go to grave without knowing Jesus. And the Bible says very clearly that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. So thank you so much for your ministry, for what you're doing. You're just, you both are just such people.
And Nikki,
I'm very grateful.
What do they do for the ministry? They have a sign on their car? What is it that you saw them having?
Well, the picture that Greg has on Facebook with the sign on their car. Greg, why don't you go ahead and explain about it?
Thank you so much, Nikki. Go ahead, Greg. Can you hear Nikki? Did you hear her?
I can. I do.
Yeah.
Back in November, or actually the year 2008, the Lord began to speak to me about a sign, putting a sign on the back of my car.
Yes.
And I finally did. The Lord finally convinced me that, yes, I was asking you to do that, Greg.
Wow.
And I've had a sign on the back of my car since Thanksgiving Day. 2008, and the sign reads, "I used to be gay, but Jesus set me free," and "Meet my wife." Now it says, "Meet my wife." At that time, I was not married, and it just said, "I used to be gay, but Jesus set me free."
Yes.
With a scripture reference of Romans
yes.
chapter 1, like verses 8 through 32, if
yes.
I remember correctly, and
yes.
And talking about the homosexual sin. And so, been riding around with that sign on the back of our vehicle.
Yes.
Dee Dee and I have been married a little over 2 years now. And
yes.
that sign transferred from my vehicle onto her vehicle, and we've continued to minister with that sign. I've also held
yes.
the sign in my hand on a street
oh.
corner as well.
And people persecuted you for it?
Yes, not just a little bit, a whole lot.
uh-huh.
And the Lord, I tell you, the Lord is gracious,
yes.
and He has taught us so much and to love them right where they're at, and
yes.
and to not be afraid. And
yes.
We have had people stalk us. We've had people try to run us off the road.
Wow.
We've seen the middle finger more times than you can shake a stick at,
wow.
and yet we love them. That's the reason why we're out there, is because we love them. We're not trying to. We don't hate them. There's no hate in us. It's all about loving them and helping them to see their need of salvation. They don't
yes.
see it that way,
no,
but that
not.
Is our heart, is love. It's always
but,
love. There's,
and you see,
that's all we ever think about is how we love them.
Because the people, you know, 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about how the God of this world blinds their minds and their hearts so they cannot
mm.
see the light of the gospel.
That's
and
true.
With me personally, mm. I did not know Jesus, and when I finally accepted Him, it was like somebody took a knife and slit the lining off of my eyes and peeled it up for the first time I saw clearly. So they don't see it. They really don't understand
no.
what's going on.
No, they don't.
But I wanted to hear, Dee Dee, your part of the story, and then we go into the marriage, and you teach everybody how to have a Christ-centered marriage. And Nikki, thank you so much for calling if you're still on the line. I guess she's
yes,
not.
Thanks for having me. I'll hang up now and continue listening at home. God
thank
bless you guys.
You. God bless you.
God bless
God
you.
God bless you, Nikki.
Thank you. And Dee Dee, let's hear your part of the story. You'd been married before as well, correct?
Yes, ma'am. I was married and under the same roof with my former spouse for 8.5 years. We were married a total of 10 years. And about 18 months into our marriage, there was a definite shift in tone and behavior. And
By him?
By my former spouse, yes. And I was serving the Lord at the time, and yet even in that, I decided to throw discernment out the window and
yes.
not care because I was just tired of being alone. And
yes.
And so this gentleman came into my life, and he was a churchgoer, and about 18 months into our marriage, there was a punch that flew, and
you mean
and,
he hit you?
I was the recipient of that.
Oh
and
my gosh!
Go ahead.
And I'm saying, oh my gosh! I say he hit you when you say a punch flew.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And
go ahead,
And I truly believe that even with that, that even with my throwing discernment out the window and disobeying the Lord, because had I asked the Lord, do you want me to marry this man?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he would have said no. But
right.
I didn't even include the Lord in that decision.
You did the me, and I thing again, too, right?
Absolutely. It was a very selfish and egotistical decision, thinking that I knew better.
Mm-hmm. Don't we all tend to do that?
He was introduced to me by my dad,
and
he had a very good career and lots of education, and I had a respect for what he had in his life. I wanted that in my life.
Yes.
And so I just went ahead and adopted logic rather than obey the Lord and be interested in what the Lord had to say. And that's really what got myself into this situation.
You know, Proverbs 3, 4, and 5, which is what the Lord spoke to me personally. Trust in me in all thy ways. Lean not unto thine own understanding, right? Because when we do, what a mess we make of things.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So go ahead, Didi. What finally made you decide to leave him, or did he leave you, or what happened?
I did leave. At the time, we had a 2-year-old son, and he left for a month-long business trip, and I had asked the Lord just a few days before that. I was in my room by myself, and I said, Lord, I can't live like this anymore. I need you to deliver me.
You finally turned to God.
It was just a couple of days later that he came home and said, I'm being sent for a month-long business trip, and I knew the Lord had just given me a way out.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
And,
the minute you turn to God, he gave you the way out, right? Where there's
Amen.
No way.
Yes, ma'am.
He gives a way. So
yes,
did you
ma'am.
Then file for divorce at that time?
Not immediately, no. We waited a year. There was some counseling that was done. And
which
and,
you did the right thing. You know, you tried to save a marriage, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, which is wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. But the instances of abuse they were still continuing. They were very sporadic. That's what made it so difficult to leave, because I would much rather you just yell at me and if there's going to be abuse, just yell at me and smack me, because then I can, it'll hit me upside the head literally and say, oh my gosh, Didi, you know, this is a dangerous situation. This is an unstable environment. But because it was so sporadic, I couldn't ever tell or gauge his behavior.
So it got better in between, so you could tolerate it more. Is that what happened?
Right. But the problem was I left 3 different times and went back, and each time that I went back, the situations of abuse would escalate.
Oh, my goodness. He took
and
you
so
for granted.
Finally, I got to that point where I knew I needed to be delivered.
And,
and I felt much like the Israelites leaving Egypt and asking the Lord for a deliverer. And so God gave me that moment, and I took it.
Wow. And you know what you're describing is abuse that goes on in so many homes, and so many women feel the same way. They're afraid to leave, and then when the husband behaves for a few days or weeks or months, they say, oh, it'll be okay, and then the abuse escalates. And I think God escalated it with him against you so you would leave, to give you the courage to leave. So, again, the
Absolutely.
Reason I'm interested in both your background is you both had been through marriages, and that's why we'll head in a few minutes into your current marriage. How did you and Greg meet each other? We'll hear your side of the story, and then we're going to hear Greg's side of the story.
Oh, gosh, that was a absolute divine appointment. I was asked to be the praise and worship leader for a Women's Aglow conference at a church in Northern Virginia.
Yes.
And after that conference, the pastor invited me back on the next day, Sunday, to minister to his church and singing prophetically and play piano And so he gave me an invitation back. I'm giving you the nutshell version.
Yeah.
And a dear friend of mine, I was a nurse at the time, and
you're
a dear friend of mine that I was working with, came into the foyer of the church, and she said, "Dee Dee, I have someone for you to meet," and and it was my future husband.
Wow.
And the Lord told me that day I was going to meet my husband.
Before you met Greg?
He told me that morning, you're going to meet your husband today.
And when you met him, what was your immediate reaction?
Well, I thought he was hot.
And you don't mean temperature-wise, right?
He is smoking hot, sexy, gorgeous man of God. And he had a ministry shirt on that said, "I used to be gay, but Jesus set me free."
Already?
And even then, he was so bold, and he said, "Did you read my shirt?" I said, "Yeah." And he said to me, "I don't think you did." I said, "Okay." And he was right, because I read it wrong. I did
it's
read
funny.
His shirt, but I read it incorrectly.
It's funny
and,
to read a T-shirt, right? Instead of reading
Well,
a
the lettering was like Old English.
Oh.
It had old English letters, so it wasn't as plain and simple to read. And so he said out loud with his big voice, "It says, I used to be gay, but Jesus set me free." And I just smiled and shook his hand. I said, "That's cool." I didn't know until the worship service had already started is when the Lord said, "This is the one I've picked for you."
Wow. We're going to go on a short break. If anybody else would like to call in for prayer or to talk to Dee Dee and Greg, our phone number here is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. We'll be in a break for a minute, and we'll be right back and hear the rest of the story.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on BBSRadio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an e-book, Diary of the Sovereign Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J, U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you.
Hello. We're right back. Are you there, Dee Dee and Greg?
We are here.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. You know, Doug explained he couldn't turn off the commercial because then he would disconnect you two, so forgive me because I wanted to use the time to talk to you. But anyway, it's so cute. Finish your part of the story, Dee Dee, and then we'll hear Greg's part, and then I'd like you to cover your subject for today. So when God told you that Greg was your intended husband, did you tell that to Greg, or what happened then from your point of view?
I was sitting next to my dear friend Linda. She was on the far seat. I was next to her, and Greg was beside me.
Yes.
And as soon as the Lord revealed that to me, I told her that she had just introduced me to my future husband.
Wow.
So
now,
you can imagine her surprise. And
I love it.
He was very, very excited. And
yes.
at first, you know how there are some women, they introduce a guy and say, this is a friend of mine, and you think that they're dating. And I thought that that's what the case was. And,
that he was her boyfriend.
Right. And so I said, I need to ask you, Linda, how do you feel about this man sitting next to me?
Yes.
And she said, I don't have any red flags. And I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, from a man to a woman, how do you feel about him? And she looked at me and she said, oh, he's my brother in Christ. I said, well, praise the Lord, girl, because this is my husband.
Oh, wow. Let's hear
from
Greg. It was
that simple.
Greg, what did you feel when you first met Didi, or did the Lord also say to you that she would be your wife?
I was kind of oblivious. I enjoyed meeting her. It was good to meet her, and I was definitely checking her out in the foyer.
And she's beautiful.
Not mostly, but
she's
I was definitely checking her out. And it was a pleasure to meet her. It wasn't until we were later sitting at the in a restaurant. I mean, the Lord connected it so well. A lady that was a friend of Didi's invited Didi out for dinner.
Yes.
And she looked at me. I was standing nearby, and she said, "Well, Greg, why don't you come along too?"
Yes.
And so we not only spent time at church, but after church we spent several hours at this restaurant with the lady that had invited us across from us, and Didi and I sitting on the same side.
Yes.
And at one point we even had prayer, out loud prayer, at the restaurant, and the Lord was just having His way. And I was beginning to fall in love with her sitting there at the table.
Right
I
there.
Asked her at one point, I said, is there any possibility of you're going back to your husband?
Yes.
And she pretty much said, absolutely not, unequivocally. And that was a red flag for me. I mean, I was delighted to hear that. And
She said it was a red flag.
Yeah, you both used red flags in different contents.
Red flag. And...
Yes.
Pardon me.
No, I was going to say you each use red flags in different contexts. You know, it's funny.
That could be true, but in this case, it really was a green flag to keep right on going. And, so we, even after we had left a restaurant, we had spent even more time in her vehicle talking and falling in love with each
other. Having a prayer meeting.
Yes, we did. We had prayer. And, and
with
our
other people? With other
continued.
People, or were you by yourself now?
Pardon?
Yes, we were in the car in at the time my SUV having a prayer meeting.
Oh, yes, we were.
And there were other people.
Lot.
How funny! So go ahead.
It,
so
it
what
is.
Happened?
God knows what He's doing. All we have to do is just do it His way. And literally, not entirely physically, of course, but 7 weeks later to the day.
Yes.
We got married, and we've been together since that day in one way or another. Certainly not marriage-wise until that, you know, that December 19th was the day we were married.
Wow.
And the Lord has certainly kept us all through that time. As you mentioned earlier, we let everything go. We don't have anything at this particular point because the Lord has asked us to do that.
You gave up your business, right? You had a dry cleaning business?
I had a cleaning business. I had, and I don't have that anymore. She was a nurse, as you well know, and or as you heard earlier, rather, and we're not doing any of that. We have been trusting the Lord to meet our needs, which He has.
Let me give you a website again, and then I would like you to talk about how to have a Christ-centered marriage.
Amen.
Okay, because they need your support, people, and even if you do a little bit for them, it would be greatly, greatly blessed. Their website is http://www.xgaygreg.com/free. And which one of you would like to first start talking about the Christ-centered marriage? Would it be you, Greg, or Dee Dee?
It would be me. Actually, I'd like to say this one thing. The Lord has been talking to us.
Yes.
He started talking to me years ago about a motor coach or a camper. As you've heard me say, we have a sign on the back of our car, And the Lord would certainly like to have that on the both sides and the back of a camper or a motor coach.
Yes.
And he's been talking to us a lot about that over the last several days anyway.
If
and
somebody
so
can
I would certainly like
donate.
Your audience to remember that in prayer. Pardon me?
And if somebody can donate such a camper to you, that would be
absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They can contact us. We have that information via our website.
Yes.
And I know that's on the Lord's heart. He wants to get us out there. And we're ready. Let me decree it for you.
Okay, the Bible tells us you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. Let's just pray for it very quickly because I want you to have it. I wish I had it. I'd give it to you. But, Father God, we're humbled before you. We thank you again and praise you. You said whenever two or three of us shall agree of touching anything, it shall be done for us. And you said to decree a thing and it shall be established. And you watch over your word to perform it. And we touch and agree and decree and thank you that such a van as they need so they can also live in it, or whatever he said, whatever Greg described, is donated to them, even this weekend, in Jesus'
motor
mighty
coach.
Name. RV, right? Or whatever it's
RV,
called.
RV, yes. Camper, RV, yes. Amen.
With kitchen and bedrooms so you can live it in as well.
That's correct. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing it up and bring up whatever is in your heart so we can let the people know. So go ahead, please, Greg. How do you tell people or how do you live a Christ-centered life? Maybe that's the first question.
The number one thing is to spend lots of time with the Lord. He wants us to do that. Paul talked about that.
Do you do it individually or do you do it together?
Both. We do it both. There are times when the Lord will call us away separately. We are at present living in a place where there's a field and there's a wooded area.
Yes.
And there are times when he will call us separately to go and walk around and just talk to him, especially at night.
Yes.
And just yesterday afternoon, as a matter of fact, I took a walk in the woods, and I just spent time talking with the Lord, and that was me by myself. But there have been times as well that he has called us both to do that. We spend lots of time in prayer here where we're staying at present, and that is an extremely important thing. We have Bible study time. And,
together? The two of you together?
Together.
Yes.
Pardon?
The two of you together?
That's
the
correct.
Bible.
Yes, we do. We read our Bible separately, and we also read them together. We absolutely do. And we enjoy that. We really do. That gives us strength. The Lord has been calling us to a lot of prayer of late, in the wee hours of the morning even. I know
really?
He's moving. We know, yes, he is
what about?
Moving on our lives. We know, I don't know how it's going to happen, but we believe God for that camper, that RV.
Amen.
God can do anything.
Amen.
And we know that he's going to open up the heavens. And for that to happen, I truly believe that. But he has certainly been calling us to a lot of prayer. I mean, a lot of prayer. And we've had that occasion before when there was about to be a move. And so we know that God is stirring our hearts because there is a move coming. And we're excited about that.
A move for what? I want us to go also cover, Christ-centered marriage. But what is the move that you're referring to, which you're praying about?
To get back out on the road, to get back out with the motor coach, with the RV, to get back out on the road. The Lord has a lot of things that he's called us to do.
Like what?
To promote his cause. No, he does not endorse homosexuality. He calls it an abomination.
Right. But we love the people, right?
Called,
but Greg, we love the homosexuals anyway.
Absolutely we do.
Yes.
Of course we do.
Yes.
But there are many churches today that are endorsing homosexuality and saying that it is something that God loves and he does not. He hates all sin, including homosexuality. But he definitely loves every person. He wants them to surrender their heart to him so that they will give up their sin, whatever that sin may be. But most definitely, he loves everybody.
Right.
He loves them.
Exactly.
He wants them to come to him. Because he knows that they'll have such a much better life in him.
Yes. And you and Dee Dee demonstrate that love. That's what I sense so strongly in both of you, that you truly have given your life for him to bring all the others back into him. So we need to have you have that RV now, in Jesus'
amen,
name.
Amen, amen,
yes,
amen.
There is such an urgency for it.
There is,
yes.
A deep urgency. And,
yes.
And it's on our heart. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm weighed down with that. Now the Lord knows how much I can bear, but it is a weighty burden that he has given me.
Yes.
Because I love the homosexual.
Yes.
I love them.
And you understand
no
them.
I love them. I want them to repent.
And you understand
you
understand them and their lifestyle probably more than anybody,
correct.
Right?
That's correct. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
That is correct.
You know, pray for me to have extra money come in. I will get you the RV. It'll be my...
Amen. I tell you, God's going to do it. I don't know how, but I know he will.
Amen. Amen. And how do you feel that you have a Christ-centered marriage? How would you define it in your life?
Because the things that we would have done in our flesh in the past, we don't do anymore.
And what examples can you give?
I would like to go and read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Yes.
We covered that once already, but it's such a foundational scripture in marriage that people don't consider.
Yes.
And that is, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
Amen.
Well, what some people think... That verse is, it's specifically about your employment path.
Yes.
Your the direction of what your career path is going to be. And they don't even consider that scripture is about your marriage path. Your marriage does have a path.
Yes.
And
you know, that's a good title for a book, Dee Dee. That's a good title for a book. Your marriage has a path. Write it down so you don't forget.
You just spoke a word, woman. So here is I love this verse because in having a God-centered marriage, now I'm really going to start talking to some women out here.
Good.
Do not say what does not need to be said. Now here's how I know I have a Christ-centered marriage, because my husband and I both are talking people. It's not that one is more the predominant listener over the other. We consider each other, we listen to each other, but we also share extensively with what's going on in our walk with Christ individually as well as together.
That's wonderful.
Even early in our marriage, I would say something and it wouldn't be anything bad, but I might say something like, oh, I'm going to do this. And Greg would say, sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And God would tell him, now, Greg, now you don't need to speak up about how dumb she's being right now.
You
just
need
to
trust
in the Lord with all your heart, Greg.
Yes.
I know that you know better. And she doesn't, but let me deal with her.
Wow.
Well, there are a lot of wives that think that their husbands are so incapable of putting a thought together.
Yeah.
And so their husbands say something, and because their wives have a nature, not all women are like this, but more than not women, we want to be right.
Yes.
And we
it's not
want
important.
To typically have the last word.
And it's not important, is it? Yes. Go
it
ahead.
Really, it is not important. In fact, a woman who speaks up to correct her husband all the time, she has a Jezebel spirit. She needs to be in control. And the Bible, it's so beautiful. The Bible addresses all of this. It says, even in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your husbands. Well, some women find that very threatening because they don't even know how to submit to Christ.
And you see, that's the problem with the women's movement, the equal rights. We have more than equal rights following what God wants, not what we want. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the man should be the head of the house. I mean, that's what the Bible tells, you know? So I love hearing that. Go ahead, please, Dee Dee, go ahead.
So what I love about that verse... I'm also going to talk about Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgression.
Amen.
And also Romans 13:10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So
Amen.
These are all scriptures that are basically saying, I want you to put yourself second, okay?
Amen.
Put God first. Put your spouse above yourself, whether you're the husband or wife. Put your spouse above yourself, and then you come into line.
You mean
if,
put your spouse above yourself?
If people would just trust God's plan,
yes,
and put themselves in a more humble position,
yes,
and not say what needs to be said, there wouldn't be hardly any arguments in a house.
Amen.
Because even if I say something so stupid, my husband knows that the Lord is going to correct me.
Wow. Yeah.
And my husband knows that the Lord is going to correct me in a way that he can't, and it won't be lasting.
And you know something, Dee Dee?
I don't correct my husband.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
This is the first time I hear that kind of insight into what makes a really godly marriage. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
We live in the Garden of Eden in our marriage.
Oh.
And it's not because we're perfect, but it's because Christ, who's perfect in us, is at work in us. And we apply his word to our marriage.
Amen.
So when my Greg says something that is contrary to what the Lord has told me,
yes.
I'm just
going to
be quiet.
And do you pray
then?
But
it takes a woman to know that God can get through to her husband, and it takes a man to know that God can get through to your wife to be able to be quiet and let him do what he does best, which is change hearts and change lives.
Yes, because the heart of man is in his hand, like he did with Pharaoh, right? He softened and hardened his hand. So what you're saying, which is really beautiful, you know, and I've represented people in divorce, you know, for many years, and I always tried to counsel them, you know, before I knew the Lord, you know, to try and get back together. So what you're saying is for the wife to win her husband with her conversation, which doesn't mean talk, but means behavior. Isn't that, in effect, what you're saying?
Yes.
In other words, by being submissive and asking for wisdom. You know how God says, ask for wisdom, and he gives it liberally. So what you're saying, you each are asking God for wisdom before opening the mouth to one another.
Amen.
That is exactly
Amen.
What I'm saying.
Yes.
Praise God.
By doing that, you won't argue about money.
Yes.
You won't argue about how to raise your kids. You won't argue because God will tell your spouse what he is telling you. And if you're in disagreement, maybe you need to just both be quiet and start fasting and praying together.
So what you see, Dee Dee, what I'm thinking, most people don't hear from God. Do you realize that? Especially nowadays.
Yes,
they go to church and they sing some, you know, really some songs that I think belong in nightclubs, you know, not in a church.
You're right.
The apostasy that I'm seeing just breaks my heart. How would you counsel then, both men and women, how to open their hearts so they do hear from God, so they have the confidence, which is what you're saying, that God will deal with the other whenever things are said, that you don't have to worry about commenting on them by yourself?
That really is so easy, Judge Eve. See, the more that I get into my Bible, and get to know it myself, the more it becomes real to me. The Word of God is the bread of life.
Amen.
And it's also a washing. I get washed clean in the thoughts that I used to have with new thoughts that I have now towards Christ because I get into His Word. So when I read His Word, I learn how He operates.
The renewing of your mind, right?
That's right.
And when you say washing,
I learn
washing,
how He does marriage rather than how I do marriage.
When you write that book, are you going to give the verses people should look to, how to know how to act as a husband and wife to each other?
Most likely.
Can you think of any marriage? Can you think of
Most
any marriage?
Likely.
I love that. Because you say, when you say you get washed clean, I understand that. It's like you get upset about something, but if you go to the Word, you get calm because you see God's view of things, not our view of things. So how do you describe being washed clean with a word?
I don't think I could have said it any better than you, Judge Eve. When when I have a thought, let's say that I think it's okay for me to listen to whatever kind of music I want to listen to. And my husband has a higher standard for what kind of music I should be listening to, because he knows that if I'm listening to music that doesn't uplift the Lord, then our yoke isn't equal. And he has to pull more weight than what I have to pull.
Yeah.
Because I'm the one making a poor judgment call.
Right.
So when I get into the Word and I see that there's certain language that I really need to stay away from, there's certain things that my ears shouldn't be hearing, even as an adult. There are things that my eyes shouldn't be seeing, even as an adult. And so by reading his Word, it changes how I think. And if he is truly on the throne of my heart, then I would really want to please the Lord.
So that's
and by pleasing
saying.
The Lord, I'm pleasing my earthly husband.
Amen. Amen. I love that. Greg, do you have anything to add from a man's point of view, how you have a Christ-centered marriage?
You know, to adore your wife. I mean, to not look at her like as some ball and chain, or, you know, the old lady or something like that, which I've heard in the past. Those are all so very derogatory, and they don't help a marriage at all. They're so discourteous. And I look at my wife and I adore her. I mean, she's my wife. She is the woman that God gave me. And so I don't go around talking to other men about my wife. What we do in our lives, in our bedroom, is between her and I.
Exactly.
And that's it. That is not to be discussed with anyone else. That is no one else's business.
I love
that. But to love her and to appreciate the woman that she is. And I tell her, and I also tell her often, you know, I tell her how proud I am of her, and because I am. And that builds her up, that encourages her. And I did not live in a home that was like that at all growing up. The home that I lived in was not that way. I mean, it was very discourteous. And and that could have carried over into my life. And it did not happen, thank the Lord. Even with my first marriage,
praise God.
I was kind to my wife, but with Dee Dee, I respect her. You know,
she's your queen.
I respect the woman that she is on her own without me. She is an awesome woman of God in
praise
and of
God.
Herself, and that's how I see her.
You know,
and
we
I
only
see
have
her
a couple
woman of God.
We have a couple of minutes, and I was going to say, she's your queen and you're her king. And Jesus
that's right.
Right? And Jesus tells us to love the wives as he loved the church. And for
Amen.
The woman to be submissive to her husband, and for both to respect each other no matter what. We have another minute or so. What would you each like to say that's in your heart? Let me give your website first, please, so you get your RV. http://www.gaygregbride.wix.com/free. And I want to say, I'm so blessed to hear you both. What would be your final thoughts, Greg and Dee Dee?
I do need to mention, this is on the Lord's heart to mention, you cannot expect to have a godly marriage if you have porn in your sex life with your husband or wife.
Amen.
You cannot.
Amen.
There
Amen.
Is no place for that.
It's
and so
demonic.
What I want you to do, if you have any magazines, videos, toys, you need to have a burning party. You need to get rid of that trash and invite the Lord into your intimate life. When
Amen.
You invite the Lord into your
you
intimate life,
Amen.
He will enhance what he has already created.
Amen.
My husband even sometimes before when the Lord, and the Lord calls us together to be intimate. He just like he calls us to prayer. He knows when we need to be intimate with each other. And so he even calls us when he wants us to be intimate with each other. And my husband anoints me with oil because we're saying, Lord, you are truly Lord of everything in our lives.
Amen.
And he anoints me with oil. He anoints himself with oil.
Amen.
And I'm telling you what, when you invite the Lord into your love life, there is nothing more beautiful.
It's spiritual.
And your personal experiences, physically as well as emotionally and spiritually,
we have to go. We have to go. I love you guys. I thank you so much. And I pray that that RV comes in miraculously for you. You have a blessed day. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello? Are you there?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Greg, I'm sorry because I know we're short on time. Do you have a quick word to say before we go?
Just that we love you. We thank you for having us on your show. And we pray blessings over your show and over your life, that God will use you richly and greatly for his service. I know
thank
that's
you.
Your heart, so I know he's going to do it too.
And same for you. Same for both of you. And I'm already visualizing Zara V for you. We'll see if that's the one you get. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And do contact Dee Dee and Greg and have them invited to speak. And just bless them so you be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Thank you. Hezeinu shalom aleichem, Hezeinu shalom aleichem, Hezeinu shalom aleichem, Hezeinu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem, Hezeinu shalom aleichem, Hezeinu shalom aleichem, Hezeinu shalom aleichem, Hezeinu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem, Hezeinu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.